But it's good to see you all here this morning. And we rejoice along with Ivana and Grace and Alexander who've been brought here to be baptized today. It's always a very special occasion when parents bring their children to be baptized. But I wonder, how well do you understand what this relatively simple action really means? I'm sure many of you here, the majority of you, have been baptized yourselves. But how does it impact on how you live day by day? I mean, tomorrow, if someone were to ask you what you did today, and you say you came to church and there was a baptism, and they ask you, what is baptism? What does it mean and why do you do it? How would you answer them? It isn't a once-off ritual all on its own. It's not just an add-on to our lives. And it's not a sort of spiritual insurance policy either. And it should have enormous significance on the way we live our lives day by day. So we're going to look at this passage. But before we do that, shall we just pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're here with us now. We pray that you would give us ears to hear what you are saying, that you would give us minds to understand, and that you would give us the will to obey and walk in the way of Jesus Christ. For we pray in your name. Amen. In that passage we read, there is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. We can consider these seven ones as a summary of Christianity and of our Christian faith. They come together as a package deal. They're all together. They are all interrelated. And you can't have one or some and not the other. They come together. So let's begin with the one true God, the creator of our world and our universe. We see his amazing creativity in the vastness of the galaxies around us and the minute details of nature through the microscope and the boundless variety even in the hidden depths of the ocean, if we as depicted in the Blue Planet 2. And that's just for a start. Consider the wonder of a newborn baby. God is the source of all life. And there's evidence of his presence everywhere if we care to look for it. And this morning we have together declared that we do believe in this God. We believe, we said, and trust in him. Yes, he is the one and only God. Today in the world, some folk do not believe in him. Some people may reject him and deny his very existence. Some may try to actually reinvent him according to their own design and their own wishes, how he fits into their life. Others have been given a completely false impression and image of who he is. But God is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath, and nothing that we mere mortals say or do will ever change that. And he is calling people to himself. We heard that in the liturgy of the baptism. God is calling people to himself. He's calling men and women, that means you and me, to believe in his son Jesus, to believe in him as their risen Lord and King, and to give to him, to Jesus, complete and undivided allegiance for the rest of their lives. That's what God is calling us to do. And why is he calling us to do that? Because it is Jesus who has, through his death and his resurrection, saved all of us from spiritual death, saved us from an eternal separation from our Father God. That's actually what hell is, being cut off forever from God. And even though we're sinners deserving God's condemnation, because we're guilty of going off on our own way and doing our own thing regardless of God. But because of God's amazing love, and of his wonderful compassion for us. Yes, for each and every one of you here today, Jesus came. Jesus came. He was born as a human. He lived a complete life of obedience to his Father and then willingly died on the cross for our sin, taking the guilt and the punishment for our wrongdoing. Isaiah the prophet put it like this. He said, "All of us, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord God has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all." So now, if we put our trust and our faith in him, if we agree to accept what he has done for us, we can be forgiven. We can be washed clean, and we can receive eternal life. This faith in what Jesus has achieved is the one faith that Paul writes about. As the people of God, our faith is in Jesus the Saviour, as we declared earlier. Now, faith isn't something vague in itself. Sometimes people say that they have faith. But we can't just have faith. We have to have faith in something or in someone. So the question is, who or what is your faith in? Faith in Jesus means putting what we believe about Jesus, all that we've declared earlier this morning, into practice in our lives, living it out day by day. Remember, as I said earlier, faith isn't an insurance policy to put away for the day when disaster might strike. Faith is living in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ now, accepting him as Lord. Now, a Lord is one who has ultimate authority. He is the one we obey, the one we serve, and the one we respect. But we can only have one Lord. If there are lots of lords, there's going to be conflict. Who is really the boss? So who is your Lord? Who is number one in your life? Who is number one in your career? Who is number one in your family? Is it Jesus? Because that's who a Christian is. Someone who gives her or his undivided allegiance to Jesus Christ as Lord. There's a saying, it's quite well known. It says, if he is not Lord of all, he is not Lord at all. If he isn't Lord of all our life, he isn't Lord at all. And for all Christians everywhere, there is only one Lord, Jesus. And when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us as a friend to help us live this new life. He helps us understand what the teachings of Jesus are all about. He gives us the power to do what God wants us to do and calls us to do. He sets us free from all that stuff that messes up our lives. And he gives us the courage to keep going even when it's tough. And we've heard about some people who are having a tough time in our world today. The Holy Spirit is the one Spirit that indwells all those who believe in Jesus. It's about being all filled with that Spirit of God. So we have one God, we have one Lord, we have one faith, we have one Spirit. We also have one hope, the hope that Paul talks about. Now, the Christian hope that the Bible talks about isn't a vague wish. We often say, I hope, without any confidence that what we hope will actually happen. I hope it won't rain, we say. But you know, there's always a chance it's going to rain, particularly in Britain, isn't there? Or perhaps we're going out and we say, I hope the kids are going to be good. Or you put them to bed and you say, I hope they're going to be good. I've just been staying with four grandchildren. We hope Brexit will work out for our nation. But not everything that we hope for comes to fruition, does it? Not in that sense. But the Christian hope is different. It's something that we wait for, but we are sure is going to happen. As people called by God and saved by Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit, we can have assurance about the future. That God will fulfill all the promises that he's written in Scripture for us, that Christ will return in glory and in victory, and that rebellion and wrongdoing and evil will be judged and dealt with. And we can look forward with confidence to the day when he brings in his glorious kingdom here on earth, knowing that we're going to be part of it, and that physical death for us won't be the end. The best is still to come. That's the hope that's shared by all Christians in every age, in every situation, and that keeps them going even under the intense hardship and persecution. And again, that's true for millions in our world today. It's a hope which is based on the historical saving work of Jesus. That's my hope, and that's our hope as the people of God. What a contrast. What a contrast to the lack of hope in our world today, where there's a sense of hopelessness that pervades our society, where despair and depression mess up countless lives, where the future is uncertain and bleak, and the joy of living seems a far-off dream. So I ask you, do you know the one true God? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? Is your faith firmly grounded in all that he did for you on the cross? And do you experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit helping you to live a life as a follower of Christ? And can you rejoice in the hope that's based in God's faithfulness and love? Today, Ivana, Grace, and Alexander were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So what does that baptism mean? To start with, none of us, not one of us here, were born as Christians. We may have been born into a Christian family or a Christian environment, but we come into the world as sinners who need saving. And we have to come to Jesus and to ask for mercy. But this has to be our decision and our choice. God doesn't force us to follow Jesus or compel us to become a Christian. But when we decide to take that step, when we put our faith in him, we make a new start. Or as Jesus said to a guy called Nicodemus, we are born again. We become spiritually alive as we have never been before. And baptism is an outward sign of that. An outward sign of an inward reality that has taken place when we made that decision to follow Jesus. The past is washed away and a new life begins. When people are baptized by immersion, they go down into the water, signifying dying to their old way of life and all that's past. And they come up out of the water. They are beginning a new life with Christ. Gone are the old ways, and they're now a spiritually new, alive creation. That's what Paul's talking about here. Baptism is the end of the old and the start of the new. And that's an experience that's shared by all who've chosen to become Christians and to follow Jesus. It's one baptism that unites everyone who truly believes in Jesus Christ. And from that moment when we put our faith in him and ask him to come into our lives and be our Lord, we become part of God's family. God is our Father, a loving Father, a caring Father, who longs to be with us and to share our life with us. And we become part of his body, the body of Christ, the church. We're one body, one people, united in Christ, saved by Christ, living for Christ. And as such, we're called to live together in love and unity. And Paul in that passage urges us to live lives that are worthy of that new status as part of his body, part of his family, as his children. We're to live together in unity and in harmony. Frictions are all worn away and we learn to get on with one another. We're to be humble, not proud, recognising the truth and our weaknesses and our strengths. We're to be real and to be honest with one another, not putting on Sunday facades or holier looks when people from church are around. We're to be genuine. And we're to love and we are to forgive one another. Why? Because we ourselves have been forgiven by God and we are loved by him. And we're also called to be patient with one another. I think most of us find that hard sometimes. We live in a hectic time, a time-orientated society, and we easily get frustrated, don't we, and impatient with one another. How we need God's help to live this sort of life together, in harmony, in unity, loving, caring, and being gentle with one another. But God's grace is sufficient as we come to him and recognise we can't do it on our own, but we can do it with his help. You see, the unity that Paul's talking about here isn't about negotiations between different denominations or about being tolerant about other people's beliefs. It's about truly loving one another in the way that God loves us. Loving each other in spite of all our flaws and failings. Loving us in spite of whatever we may say or do. Because, why? We're all part of the body of Christ. We all worship the same God. We are all saved by the same Saviour. We're all filled with the Holy Spirit. We all have the same faith. We all have the same hope. We're part together. We're one together. And we're one body and we belong together. And we have to work that out with God's help. Yes, we all have different gifts, don't we? We all have different abilities. And we should use them to help and to encourage and to support one another. Our attitude should be, what can I do or what can I give that will help and encourage and build up the church? How can I use my God-given gifts for the good of my fellow Christians? As Christ's pilgrim people, we journey on together through life, helping, supporting one another through all the ups and downs that life throws at us. So there is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. As I said earlier, they come together as a package deal, the foundations, the sure foundations of the Christian faith. And we need to embrace them all if we're serious about following Jesus. And as parents, as godparents, and for some of us as grandparents, we need to teach and to live out these seven truths in our everyday life, not just on Sundays or occasionally, and to set a godly example for our children, our godchildren, and our grandchildren. As Moses put it in that first reading that we had, he says to the children of Israel, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit down and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Basically, it's part of life. It's not just for an occasion. It's talking about them when you're sitting at home, round the table, when you're walking down the road to school or coming back, when you're lying down at bedtime and when you get up in the morning. We need to keep talking and sharing our faith with our children so they recognise it's something that's really radical to who we are. And parents and godparents and grandparents, You have responsibility for the spiritual as well as the physical, emotional and mental welfare of your children before God. That is your responsibility. And as a church, we want to help you bring up your children in the Christian faith. We have some amazing groups, children's groups. You saw all the children go out earlier, and youth groups as well. And we have some wonderful, dedicated workers who work with them. But you need to come along yourself and bring them regularly so that they can really feel a part of God's family here in Highfield and can grow in the faith into which they have been baptized either today or in the weeks or months and years in the past. That is your responsibility as parents, to bring them so that they can grow in their faith. Because we're all one together on this journey through life. So, where are you on your particular Christian journey today? Have you started it? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you made that commitment? Perhaps you need to think about the next step. Perhaps you need to think about being baptized. Maybe you need to join a small group here in church to help you grow in your faith because you recognize that there's a lot that you don't understand or know about. Perhaps it hasn't been part of your life up till now. And let's all of us make every effort to live together in harmony, helping, serving, supporting one another as members of the family of God. If there's something that perhaps has come up in the service this morning that you'd like to know more about, you can either ask me or David or any of the perhaps Christian friends who came along, you came along with. Or there will be a prayer team at the back, I think they're at the back, over here. Here they are, who would love to talk with you or pray with you. But we're on a journey and we need to keep going together. So let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you that we can have life in you, that we can be part of your family, your body, the church. We thank you that we can know what it is to be saved and forgiven by Jesus. And we pray that you would help us today, not to just go out from here and forget what we've heard, but to do what you're calling us to do. Help us to respond to your calling on our lives. And we thank you for your amazing love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.